Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken and Joe, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And I was going to have a rundown for today, and then I didn't bother having a rundown for today. And then
were you on drugs too?
I was going to
get the rundown done.
I was going to start talking today about the miraculous recovery of Anderson Silva and the sportsmanship that Nick Diaz showed at the end of the bout, and the insanity that Nick Diaz showed at the beginning of the bout by lying down to one of the best fighters on planet Earth. And then I didn't have to do any of that stuff because everybody tested positive for drugs, and we're in this happy land where you can do whatever you want, even when you're the greatest fighter on planet Earth.
So where are we now as of the taping of the show?
He's denying
the steroid use, right?
Which is Friday at noon. So it's not like we're not in ridiculous land where it's Monday afternoon. We've gone a whole week. He is denying the usage. And as I was talking to Sean last night, I said, look, one count, okay, maybe. I mean, Kung Lee sort of won that bout when he said he didn't do it. And they had a botched test. So essentially you kind of got to give the benefit of the doubt. I guess.
He still tested positive. He got off on a technicality, right?
But still got off, right?
Yeah.
So one time, okay, maybe we can get off on a technicality. Two times, I think you clearly did it. Here's what I think there's a couple things I find very interesting. A, what does this do to the most, business-wise, the most popular thing they've done this year, right? People wanted to see this. They paid a lot of money to see this thing.
Right. Did that do better than the Cormier-Jones? Do we know?
I know that the prelims on Fox Sports 1 did better than, like, tenfold, but, like, a ridiculous amount better. But what does it do to that business model, right? Because you have two events where back-to-back people are super excited. Cormier and Jones. Turns out Jones does an illegal drug that isn't legal on any planet.
I'm a little confused, too. Are we out of competition or in competition on these things anymore?
Well, yeah. And so, you know, we'll get to that in a second. But so you've got John Jones gets popped for cocaine. He goes to rehab for 15 minutes. And then that's essentially all that happens, really. He's fined $25,000. And then he's got a fight with Rumble Johnson in May, rumored to be the time frame, right?
Mm-hmm.
This happens. They fight Nick Diaz, Anderson Silva. They get into a scrap. I think it's an interesting fight. It's kind of everything I thought it was going to be. Turns out Nick Diaz says that he had an injured arm, didn't even spar for the last 2 weeks, blah, 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 blah. He gets popped for marijuana metabolites, which say whatever you want. I'm with you. I don't really care, but the rules are the rules, right?
Well, to talk to that for just a second, he has, I mean, you know, his doctor hasn't told us this, but you can clearly see that he has.
So you're just making this up is what you're trying to say before you say it.
Okay. One can conclude that he has perhaps a social anxiety disorder, right? He went to the airport. He checked in. There was a camera crew there. His bags literally got flown to Las Vegas. He turned around and went home.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had these issues. He takes medical marijuana prescribed by a doctor, which is 100% legal in the state of California. So he's taking his medicine. He took his medicine, which was legal, and then tested within 24 hours of that to be positive to have marijuana in his system. Now, that test didn't say he was high during the fight. It just said that
he looked high during the fight.
Right? He just acted high.
Well,
so I think it's a little different. He's got a prescription for this medicine.
I think everybody should be able to fight high. I think it would be a lot more entertaining.
It's arguably not performance enhancing, right?
Well, I wasn't going anywhere with that. What I think is interesting is, so you've got this interesting debate that this show probably shouldn't tackle about, like, statewide medical marijuana cards. Right. Statewide versus federal. Like, that's not really what we do, so we're not going to. Right, we're not going
to
jump.
Yeah, but I mean, it needs to be.
Sounds like Joe wants to get in on it. So let's give him the hour.
So you've got this debate, right? It's legal in California, but you traveled to Nebraska. It's not legal.
Right.
What's a boy to do, right?
Yeah.
And then he's licensed for the fight 3 days before the fight.
Yeah, he had to take multiple tests to get clean. He had to provide a clean sample before they would give him a license.
Right. So
so they were kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. And they just last year, if you guys remember, they tripled the amount of THC allowed in your system before you were considered positive.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
How much weed can you do, Joe? It sounds like you're really in on this one.
You were
dialed
in.
He just grabbed the microphone. He's like, run, hold on. Let me tell
you. Hey, don't you talk bad about weed to me, Eric. No, so the point is, you know, they're relaxing those rules. What will happen to him after this is kind of to be determined.
Fourth time, right?
It's his third time.
Third time.
But are they going to say, okay, you know, habitual offender, you're suspended for 3 years, or your license was revoked indefinitely?
Who is they?
Or the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Or
is there any statute that – I don't think they have to do anything. They're going to judge this on the merits of a hearing, correct?
Yeah, yeah. They'll have a couple hearings, one to determine the validity, and then another one which will be penalizing him.
All of which will be available on Fight Pass, UFC Fight Pass. $9.99.
So my question is –
the UFC has to be super happy about this, though, because how much value added do they get – to Fight Pass with all these drug hearings they're going to get on NSAC.
So you've got that, right? And as you're saying, right, he gets the benefit of the doubt to test for this thing. He tests, essentially fails the test, but they still let him fight.
Yep.
Monday morning at like 8:01, there's a statement from the UFC essentially throwing Nick Diaz under the bus, backing the bus over Nick Diaz, driving the bus back over Nick Diaz, then doing a one-hitter and driving over him again before finally taking off. Minutes after that, right, comes the story that Anderson Silva has popped for not one, but two.
Right.
It is 5 days later. There is no statement from the UFC other than he still gets to coach tough. They have not come out and said anything about him testing positive. And, you know, they kind of threw the book at Nick Diaz. They haven't, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, they haven't done anything to John Jones, who did, let's remember, he did cocaine.
Right.
That's not legal anywhere for any reason.
And I would argue that's performance enhancing.
I don't care. It's not legal.
Hell yeah, it is.
Time to party.
Right. Ken is our resident Coke fan.
It's just one of those things I missed out on, but I hear it's great.
It's clearly, yes.
Kids don't do it. We have an age restriction on the podcast.
Yes, right.
Kids aren't on the internet.
That is true. Kids are not on the internet. But what I'm saying is, when you joke, Ken, that clearly the UFC is getting value added and doesn't care, I think that's true. They obviously don't care, and they just want to kind of like, well, I mean, Nick's being Nick, and we'll just throw him under the bus, and then we'll mend fences because that's what we do, right? We have a camera crew at the airport to scare the crap out of him because we want the video of us scaring the crap out of him because that's kind of his thing.
Yeah.
That's a Nick Diaz thing, and then he's going to show up, and people are going to be excited, and he's going to lay down in the middle of the octagon in front of Anderson Silva and yell at him, and when Anderson cries, he's going to tell him, champions don't cry. They do performance-enhancing drugs, so stand up and show that you did drugs, and here we are.
They're definitely not being consistent. So Rumble Johnson and a number of other fighters have only been charged with things and not convicted, and then they were immediately suspended, right? So Anderson
but this
Silva,
isn't testing. This is different. You guys you're talking about aren't necessarily testing. You're talking about legal charges, right?
Yeah, well my point is that I think Anderson Silva being allowed to continue to coach the tough season, they're giving him the benefit of the doubt. And is that for
sure?
They
came out and said that.
That's the only thing they've said.
I find this interesting because I know Michael Bisping came out pretty strongly saying Silva's legacy is ruined. I think that's something you don't want to necessarily just write the guy's career off at this point. And we don't know what he did or didn't do and how much he felt he had to come back from that leg injury. But, Eric, when you look at a guy like this, it's different, too. Because, I mean, Hoyce Gracie got popped near the I wouldn't even say near the end of his career. After his career, when he was taking fights here and there.
Sure.
What was it, the Matt Hughes
fight? Matt Hughes,
He got popped for after he lost that.
And lost is being kind.
But this is much closer to the guy's real career. I mean, I get it. Anderson Silva was out of the cage for a year. But you've got to wonder at this point if he's using here. How many other times did he use? Right. I'm going down this list of dudes that Michael Bisping, who's the one that's kind of being very loud about this. I mean, he lost to guys like Chael Sonnen, who was legally on TRT. He lost to Vanderlei, who ran away from Nevada, I think on foot, when they tried to have a hearing about his test. Dan Henderson was on TRT. Vitor, I think, was on TRT. So here's a guy who I think is rightly pissed off about all of this and saying, you know what, Silva, if you're going to test positive for steroids, you lose. I mean, the winner and loser in this situation got reversed in the past week because nobody really cares about weed. Clearly, Joe doesn't. He doesn't care.
And I don't.
Smoke
I mean,
him
I don't.
If you got him.
But if anybody's looking at a fighting situation, you're going to be pissed if a guy's on steroids and you're not.
Well, not only are you going to be pissed, but, you know, Michael's been on this show a lot. And every time he comes on, we joke about, like, how many wins do you have to get a title shot? And he would kind of joke back. And then he goes on this string of losing to guys who are on TRT. And you have to feel bad for a
guy. Yeah,
he's like
just
that,
fighting,
right?
Bruce, like, Banner every week,
right,
in the cage.
He has to fight the Avengers to get his title shot, which is not fair at all. And then so you get into this argument, right, where you can be on one side of the argument or the other. The one side being sort of how you are with weed, Joe, right? Like, throw your hands up and be like, everybody's on it, whatever. 31% of the people they've tested outside of competition have all been popped for something, right? 31%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys that they essentially we can call.
That's who they catch.
Those are the guys they catch, right? So you can throw your hands up and go, well, I mean, it's boys being boys. That's just the sport now. You know, either be on it or don't be on it. Or you could go, look, like, we need to figure this out. Because if you look at guys, and I'm going to call people out only because I have a pretty good assumption that they're not. I could be totally wrong, right? Yeah. But when you look at up-and-coming guys like Ally Aquinta, and you look at guys like Kevin Lee, and you look at somebody like Conor McGregor, and you go, okay, there's no history of that in there, and it doesn't really seem like their performances have drastically improved.
Mm-hmm.
They've improved in a way that you would improve when you're in your 20s learning mixed martial arts, right? But not drastically. These guys are the people that people are getting excited about watching, right? Ally Aquinta putting a beating on Joe Lozon was probably, at this point, the highlight of the card, really.
Yeah. So I hear what you're saying.
And
would you have ever guessed, though, Anderson Silva?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know that I don't know what
shocked me. I mean, he was the last guy, because he's not only a fighter, but he's a martial artist, too, right?
It would be this,
you bought in.
Well,
you bought in.
I bought
in. He's selling tickets.
Wolf tickets.
So, Ken, I think it would be the same. You've seen it all this week, right? Chael Sonnen, look, like, I think he was on it the whole time.
Right.
Got preferential treatment, blah, 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 blah. Then you see the other people, kind of the whispers going, well, that's always been the rumor about George St. Pierre, and that's, you know, the tests were getting better, and that's why he got out, because he just didn't want to tarnish
his
legacy.
Well, this is Major League Baseball all over again. Who is clean?
And you know, I'm not saying that George is or is not clean, but now you're hearing all of these rumors, because it just sends this, when you go to the martial artist, right? When Bruce Lee tests positive for PEDs, right? It sends this tsunami down on everybody, where you're like, well, I just assume everybody's on it then, right?
Yeah.
If Anderson Silva has to take it, and let's remember, there are steroids that don't make you look like Bruce Banner, but do in fact help your leg heal faster, right? And that may or may not be what the thing is here, but there are different types of steroids.
Sure.
I think that is a nuance. I'm not.
Wouldn't we have heard that now, though? That's what I'm wondering.
He was probably in a full fight camp, and if his leg was still healing, he shouldn't have been.
I'm not making excuses for Anderson Silva. I'm just saying there is some nuance to the, at least to the 31%, there's some nuance to the stuff that they're taking, right? It's not all to become Hulk mad, right?
So this is the first time he's ever been tested out of competition.
They'll cancel next week, right? They'll just stop testing people.
Yeah, why does this one count, Joe?
What do you mean?
Why does this one count? They said the John Jones thing doesn't count. We don't care about out of competition testing anymore. Is it because it's steroids?
Because the problem with the John Jones is out of competition, wrong test. Mm-hmm. It was for recreational drugs.
Okay, recreational out of competition testing, not a big deal now.
I mean, I think it's still all up in the air. And to that point, they didn't even get the results until after the fight.
What is the point?
So January 9th is when he failed the test. He fought this testing company, and perhaps the athletic commission, this is yet to be determined, knew that he was on steroids. Who didn't know was Diaz. So why did, if they can't get the results, which is what they're saying, it took a long time to get the results. If they can't get the results within that window, then why don't you test him earlier? And so I think a lot of people are questioning the integrity of these testing facilities, the integrity of the athletic commission. And Diaz has got a case now, right? You made me fight against a guy who's on steroids. The match
that you knew was on steroids. Right.
That tested positive for steroids a month before our fight. Why wasn't I told?
Right. That's a fair statement. And likely Nick Diaz would have said, I'm still good to go because I'm Nick Diaz.
He wouldn't have got licensed, though. If he was on steroids, they wouldn't have licensed him to fight.
But he was on steroids and did.
Exactly. That's the point.
Well, I mean, the NSAC,
they've got some serious questions to answer.
They responded to this, and the cover-up or lack thereof, I mean, the guy in charge right now, he used to be in the FBI. which I didn't realize. He called it ludicrous, and he says, quote, it had been taking them about 7 to 10 working days to get us back the results. I assume at this point he's talking about the testing agency. This time it took 17 days. You live and you learn is what he says. Yeah, with the Martin Luther King holiday in there.
You live and you learn. I don't think that's an acceptable
well,
answer.
Well, he said forward samples will be marked as expedited, an option that is available but was not taken in this case.
Yeah, I don't
Gee,
think
I
that's
wonder
an acceptable
why they
answer by any means.
I wonder why they think that there's a conspiracy when you say that.
He is the third person from his Black House MMA camp to be tested for this exact same steroid. Obviously, there's a million different variations of steroids, but this exact same one, Anderson is now the third person from Black House to be testing to test positive for that.
So what are you saying?
I mean, they're contributing factors.
What are you saying,
right?
Joe?
The first time he's ever been tested out of competition, the exact same steroid that three other people in his camp have tested positive for.
Has he been cycling well? Is that what you're saying?
Well, probably. I don't want to say
probably.
Perhaps. I mean, I think that's what people would argue.
Well, that's an interesting point you're making, though, that this is the first out of competition testing. He's a guy, when you say martial artist earlier, Joe, he's been doing this a long time. He knows his body well. Maybe he's been ebbing and flowing out of steroid use for years. It's a question.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
We need to ask at this point, especially since he's always been that two fight a year guy. He's had the time to always be in and out of steroids, so to speak.
Which, you know, not to mixed sports metaphors here, but that's always been the sticking point of the Mayweather-Pacquiao, right? Because they fight once a year, maybe twice a year. So there's plenty of leeway to cycle on and cycle off, and that's why they wanted to move to that Olympic testing, because Mayweather wanted to make sure that Pacquiao wasn't doing whatever Pacquiao was doing. And now, as you know, both of their windows are closing, that obviously fight is getting closer. I don't want to spend any time talking about that, but my point being, you now have to ask these questions that you never Monday morning I would have never even thought to ask, right? Would have woken up, had I not been throwing up and had the flu, I would have woken up and said, wow, that was what an amazing—
Were you on steroids? Right.
I was.
That's what you get.
I was cycling off and vomiting. That's the side effect of cycling off.
You don't crash if you never come down, Eric.
That's true.
It's very pro-drug show today. All the drugs.
But what I'm saying is, like, you would have woken up. I mean, I walked away from that pay-per-view going, that was a great spend of $60. Yeah. It was everything I wanted it to be. Yeah, there wasn't a finish there, but you got to see the triumphant return of Anderson Silva, Nick Diaz doing Nick Diaz, and, you know, of the antics that were Nick Diaz. And at the end of it, the typical Nick Diaz antics, right? Like, he's just a jerk the entire time during the fight, and then when it's over, no, dude, you don't lie down, get up, stand up, you know, and like does what he does and makes you fall in love with him again, which is how he's built his whole brand, right?
So Anderson, you know, after his 13-month layoff and even on testosterone, he's not the same Anderson Silva that we knew 2 years ago. He's slower.
Sure.
He's not hitting as hard. He's not this dynamic striker. So I don't think we'll ever see the same dominant champion we saw before. Did you feel the same way from the fight?
Oh, God, no. He would get owned by anybody for real. I mean, if he wasn't fighting essentially, like, no disrespect to Nick Diaz, if he wasn't fighting essentially a child, right? A guy who fights at one, like a 15-pound weight difference?
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, he had the weight advantage. And Chris Weidman's camp has come out and said, hey, we really don't want a rematch. I'm afraid we're going to hurt the guy. And I think they're being genuine. They really like Anderson Silva. And you put him in the cage with Chris Weidman again, he's going to get hurt.
And I think you saw that weight play a difference, too. I mean, somebody asked me for my picks before the fight. I said, I feel strongly that Diaz is going to win this fight. If it's at his weight class, it would be no question. And I think we saw some of that, too, because Diaz was able to land here and there. But just being the lighter guy, I mean, Silva's eaten punches and kicks before.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could kind of tell in Diaz's side that when he would land, he was doing some work there and some work that really hasn't been done on Anderson Silva in years, literally. I mean, even in the Weidman fights, Weidman would catch him here and there, and he beat him up, no question, two fights. But, you know, in this fight, Diaz was tagging him here and there, working in, working out here and there, and doing what Diaz does. He just didn't have enough behind it with that weight difference.
Yeah, and I think the difference in this fight, and maybe why I enjoyed it as much as I did prior to obviously knowing what was going into the back end, is when you were in the Weidman fights, or essentially any of the Anderson fights, you always had this tension, knowing that at any point that Spider was going to do something crazy and end this thing, right? This fight never had that, right?
I thought in the first round, just because we didn't know what was going on, but it seemed like he caught him a couple times, then caught him in the second. You're like, oh, he's in there to win. And I was ready to come into the show this week before everything blew up and say, look, I wouldn't have expected a lot more from him. The guy just broke his leg. He goes in there to get the win against Diaz. Don't fault him for it. Don't judge him on that fight. We've got the drugs now, and we're wondering what exactly happened. I may lean a little more towards what Joe said, is that's not the guy that we used to see. But again, let's not forget, he's fighting an underweight guy. He's fighting a guy basically as his showcase matchup as he comes back. I mean, we could see more, but the problem is if we've got a real positive drug test, steroids are going to knock him out for at least a year. If all of
right.
it, unless
he'll
something
be 40.
Was. Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
40 and a half.
And
right?
he'll have fought once in the past 24 months. So the steroids are going to knock him out at least a year if the NSAC is lenient and there's no contrary evidence somewhere along the way, which I don't think at this point there will be. Like you said, there's two positive tests, so this is going to be tough for him.
It's going to be very tough for him. And I don't, you know, I don't know that I necessarily disagree with, you know, going back to Bisping. You know, when all this is said and done, and if this is what, you know, on Saturday night when it ended and they both sort of semi-retired, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I mean, okay. Right. Sure. I mean, I'm okay with that. Right. Like, I don't know that I need to see Nick again. I get Nick doesn't really like it. This was a fun thing. He did everything I wanted Nick to do. And with Anderson, it was nice to have this moment. Right. Like he's 40 years old and he came back from this horrific injury and he had a great outing with Nick Diaz. It was a fun fight. Everybody on Twitter was celebrating this MMA moment, which I think is why it feels so gut-wrenching, because we were all everybody bought in, right? We were all, for 25 minutes, couldn't tweet enough things about how amazing this thing was, because we finally got our version of one of the super fights we wanted to see, right?
Right.
Not the ideal one. It's not George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva. It's not Anderson Silva, John Jones. It's not Fedor and Randy Couture, but it was one of those things that we thought, okay, yeah, this is an actual super fight. I'm excited to see this, and we got what we wanted, and then all of the air of that balloon gets let out on Monday night-ish, right? And so you're left just feeling deflated, literally. I mean, the Nick Diaz test, I don't even know that I care, right?
I don't.
So it's hard for me to even get excited about
that.
Well,
I want to see Nick Diaz again. You were mentioning during the fight, too, you thought he looked better in this fight than he ever did against GSP.
I totally do. It's not that I don't want to see him, but I guess what I mean is if he decided to up and walk away after that performance, I would have been like, okay, whatever. But now it's like you said, there's a precedent here. Could they overturn the fight? Mm-hmm. Right? Because if it's two positive tests, it could be a no contest. It could be overturned.
I think it'll go no contest.
Doesn't the camp have to petition for that, though? Or can the NSAC do that unilaterally? Because if the camp has to ask for it, I don't see Nick Diaz ever being that
being
guy.
Very proactive.
Right, exactly. Like, he's going to miss some hearings or forget to sign some paperwork.
But what I'm saying is it at least opens the door, right? If you're a Nick Diaz fan, the one positive shining note out of this is it sort of opens the door for him to want to fight one more time, right? To go, look, they made me fight this dude who was all juiced up. I want to fight somebody at 170 that I pick that I know wants to go in there and scrap.
I said I wanted to see him and Condit again, and I think we've got Condit lined up for a return in a couple months,
what,
right?
May? Is that what he said on Twitter?
I think something like that. So I wouldn't mind seeing Silva Condit again.
You mean Diaz Condit?
Diaz Condit. Let's put him in there with
he'll
Silva.
He'll be on
too.
The bench for a while though with his suspension. I think he'll at least get a year.
You think Nick?
Nick?
We'll get a year? Yeah, he's
you
had a couple.
Like
why would he? This is his third offense.
I know, but don't you think they're going to sit there and be like,
dude. I think they gave him a year last time.
They're going to be like, dude, we're supposed to, but look at this insane.
It's all right,
look
Nick,
at this insane story behind us, right? Like, there's this crazy Brazilian who got popped not once, but twice, and you went 25 minutes with this
dude. And that's what they're going to have to explain it, too, if they get, because they're going to want to give Silva as little as they can, which I think is going to be a year. So when they do that, they're going to have to find a smaller way with one test.
You can't go, oh, two positive testosterone tests, a year. Marijuana, a year. I mean, that's if you want to get a pro marijuana advocate's head to explode, that's the thing, right? Like, you get caught with a dime bag, a year in jail. You shoot somebody on the sidewalk, a year in jail, right? Like, that's what makes their heads explode.
I think it's the multiple offenses. They just throw the book at people with multiple offenses.
Yeah, I mean, his most recent one was the 1 year back in 2012.
I just think, Ken, if they want to get Silva to be activated within 12 months to even have a shot of getting him back in the octagon, there's no way you can go, PEDs and marijuana, they're the same. They're clearly this. Clearly,
who's
they're
Silva
the same.
Coaching against on the Ultimate
Shogun.
Fighter?
I mean, they're already not fighting. That was part of the deal. They're not fighting. So you don't have to worry about that. But it is Shogun, and he's still going to continue. He has actually, they're filming right now,
it
right?
started this week. Yeah.
So Shogun and Silva. So we need stainless steel cups if they do test anybody on the show. I'm guessing. Supposition here, folks. That's all I got.
We love the supposition.
That's all I got.
All right. When we come back, we will tear apart the rest of the card because there's plenty to tear apart.
Do we want to break down the fights at the end of the Super Bowl, too?
Yes, we'll tear
break
apart.
Those
yes.
down.
We'll talk about Gronk's hooks.
One good thing, though, Eric, I do want to say at least the Nationwide kid didn't have to see the positive test results. He got to die before Silva's legacy.
I don't even know how that even gets into the show, but I'm appreciative of that. Mm-hmm. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We will talk about how Vitor Belfort is a big fat baby and everything else is going on in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkerin, along with Ken Evans, Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We were talking about UFC 183. Well, essentially, we spent 25 minutes talking about Anderson
drugs.
Silva.
We were talking about drugs and how much we were surprised Joe's really into them.
We found out that Ken likes to snort lines.
No. I say if you do, you
I'm
do
okay.
you.
I'm good with it.
Right. I think. Well, if you've been downloading the podcast, I think I called it at heroin a couple weeks ago. Like,
yes.
If you're that's a heroin the, or meth, don't do that.
That's the line, right?
There
so, but there were other fights. Remarkably enough, there was a fight with Tyron Woodley and Kelvin Gastelum.
Jeez.
Which is to me the other black eye on this whole card is the John Lanker Ian McCall fight and this one, right? Because you've got Lanker who's missed four. Weights, right?
At least, yeah.
Four in the UFC, right? And then Kelvin has missed three.
This is the first time he's actually missed weight. He's had to weigh in twice, but yeah, he's always struggling to cut
and
weight.
And I know the fun thing this week has been to jump on the fighters, and I probably did it on Twitter too. If I check my Twitter,
I for sure did.
But if the guy was actually as sick as he may have been, I mean, I do give credit in this fight to Tyron Woodley for taking the fight. And still putting on a show. And I give credit to Gastelum, if he was that sick, to still getting in the cage. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, and I think Kevin Lee tweeted
Lee
out.
Is my favorite tweet of the weekend.
He said, is anybody going to care about the guy who was in the hospital 3 days ago, but now he has some Sprite and he's cool?
Yeah, so I believe his tweet said, how are you going to get some IV and some Sprite and be cool to fight?
So I know a lot of fighters were giving him crap about it, but in this case, I don't mind. You're co-main on the card, so it's a little tough spot to be in. But if he was that sick, don't you give him more credit? Who was it, Lineker that didn't make weight? Who else didn't make weight?
Yeah, Lineker didn't make weight because he never makes weight.
He was sick because of his weight cut, right? So that was his own doing.
It was allegedly, I'm not saying I do or don't believe this, it was allegedly the flu. He had like a 24-hour type of flu.
I didn't hear that. I thought he was sick due to the weight
cut. That was Gastelum, yeah.
Yeah, Gastelum. Yeah, Gastelum.
Yeah, I thought he had like a flu or something, right?
They said he passed out because he was so dehydrated.
They said he had flu-like symptoms. And then it was right. I guess so. There's a couple things here, Ken. Like, if you're sick enough that you have to go to the hospital, or you're sick enough that you pass. I mean, there was a fighter that passed out on Saturday. They canceled his fight, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're sick enough that you pass out or have to go to the hospital, don't you call that fight? So we don't even have to have this discussion.
Do we though? I mean, if it's
yeah, we do. Yes, we absolutely do.
Well, if there was no money on the line, they would have called it.
You're here today. Yeah. You were sick as a dog on Monday and Tuesday.
And I went and got IV fluids and had some Sprite, and here
right.
I am.
Yeah, see? But that's what I'm saying. If you want to look at it, that's their job, too. If he's sick on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, obviously, Tuesday and Wednesday being sick, if he has to take fluids, that's going to screw up his cut. We all can admit to that, right?
Totally, yes.
So, but he could be feeling better Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Fight's not till Saturday. I think you give the guy an opportunity if the doctor will clear him to fight.
If
his opponent's okay with it, gets to take the 20% if he wants to take it.
Right.
Woodley said he wasn't going to take it, I think.
No,
well, I mean,
not.
He said he wasn't going to because I think
Dana will still give it to him.
Tyron, you know, is one of those guys who, I mean, I'm with you. I think the weight cut was embarrassing enough. The beating was embarrassing enough. The fight was pretty awful, to be honest.
Well, yeah, we got a palate cleanser though. That was an exciting night. You don't want to go wall to wall.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah, you just need a couple minutes.
You're
like, I can go make some drinks during this.
Just need to calm down for
right,
just a second.
Got to use the restroom.
But I mean, I don't know that I'm ready to give you a pass on the Kelvin Gastelum thing. I am, however, ready to tell you that you don't tell John Lanker that he gets to go up to 135. You tell him that he no longer works for the UFC. That is what you tell him.
Yeah, that one, I'd
no
be more with you on.
You no
got,
longer work.
He's got a couple times he's missed weight in actual fights.
He
right?
has, yeah.
Four in a row.
So, and I'll never, you know, Gastelum is a guy that keeps it on the edge. A lot of these dudes do. So I'm not going to take anything away from the guy for having to weigh in twice on nights. If he makes the weight, he makes the weight. He clearly wasn't going to make the weight this week. I thought they came to what was a decent compromise. You're going to forfeit this much of your purse to your opponent if you want to fight. If your opponent agrees, you're in the co-main event. I don't have any problem if he's sick at that point in the week and he still fights on Saturday.
But I guess, don't you think, to go back just for a second, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking in reverse, but when you look at this card from a whole, you have a guy that misses weight by 10 pounds, a guy that misses weight by 3 pounds, a guy that pops positive for performance-enhancing drugs, a guy that pops positive for marijuana. What does that tell you about the organization?
Well, when you put it that way,
I mean,
geez,
like
Debbie Downer.
I don't, or you put it on a poster and sell the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You got to figure out a better way here. I mean, as far as this thing, I don't know how much it's going to affect it, because you've got what essentially for the casual MMA fan is some lower tier guys. And again, it was
Calvin
a co-main event.
Was undefeated and going to be in for a title shot if he
Did
wins
you hear
this
what
fight?
I just said?
Okay.
According to the casual fan, it's great. It's Gastelum. He's undefeated. Yeah. But so are half of the women fighters. That doesn't mean they're selling a ton of pay-per-views. This guy wasn't going to sell the pay-per-views. He might have gotten a title shot. He wasn't going to sell the pay-per-views. So you've got that. You've got the guy on weed. Doesn't matter. I guarantee perceptually nobody cares about the guy on weed. You do have a bit of an issue, is you were hoping to probably get 2 to 3 Anderson Silva pay-per-views for the next 2, maybe 3 years.
Sure.
There's certainly going to be an issue there at this point. Guy's probably going to get suspended. And when he comes back, though, we're giving them all $60, especially if they do it in February. At first, I was a little mad that these big fights always seem to be in winter, and then I'm like, oh, it's because none of us on the East Coast or Midwest want to go and drive anywhere.
Right.
Because it was an ice storm, I don't know, the night of this. So I think – I know I spent $60 that night.
I absolutely did.
Did you?
Yeah, of course.
See, there you go.
I think the only story coming out of this weekend to the casual fan is Anderson Silva testing positive for testosterone.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody knows about the weight cuts. You know, Nick Swede thing, but the only thing that anybody's talking about this week is Anderson Silva, the greatest of all time, testing positive for testosterone.
But I guess I would say to you, like with the case of Lineker, right, this is a guy who they wanted to put in with Demetrius. And you can't absolutely, under no circumstances, can do that. He cannot be trusted.
No.
And you move him up to 135 and he's going to get owned. It's
Maybe.
The same with Kelvin. Kelvin is going to get destroyed at 185.
Sure.
Destroyed. Yeah. And, you know, I don't remember who wrote it, but I'm 80% positive. I've read a lot of stuff this week, so I apologize. I'm 80% positive is MMA Weekly, so it might have been any one of their brilliant journalists was saying, like, you got to whack these two guys, and I know you're going to say no, but look what happened to Anthony Johnson, right? Same problem. Trying to go down to 170, trying to go to, couldn't do it. They jettison him out into the universe, and he comes back, and now he's going to destroy Jon Jones
this is
in
a different
one
company.
Round.
This is a company who's trying to put on 50 events a year. Struggling to get name recognition on a main card, and I think that's the difference, right? Lineker, I think both of these guys lost the fight on the scale. Your first fight is making the weight. Neither of them did that. It's the one thing you can control is your weight. You can't control what happens when you get in the cage, but you can control that, and you as a professional need to show up on weight every time.
I want
to they
look
need
at
to
it.
Have some kind of repercussions. And Dana White is doing this, and I think it's because they're both names.
I want to look at this, though, in a different way. Lineker, fine. He's missed weight a lot. He probably should be fired. He's going to get a chance to move up and see what he does. We've talked about this before, so I want to revisit at this point where we're doing weight cuts. You've got a 15-pound difference in that division from 170 to 185. So you essentially force a guy like Gastelum, who's in that Rich Franklin mold, whose probably best weight is 190. To really try to do that cut all the way down to 170 and never get a really – he can't fight at 185. Those guys are too big. They're coming down from 220, some of them. I mean, Weidman's a big dude. What's Weidman walk around? I think 210.
I don't know, like 700. Like, he's a huge dude.
Yeah,
a huge
he's
dude.
North of 200.
So do we look again at looking at these divisions and going, okay, we're 170 – And they've got more events. This would be another great reason to do it. I don't know how and where you fit it with the champs that are currently there. But I think we're ready more for a 170, 180, 190. Mm. And then you can still maybe work 15 pounds up there because when you're a bigger dude, it's less percentage of your weight. But I really am liking less and less this 170 to 185 division.
Well, I mean, you saw it with...
Because Weidman could be a 190 champ easily.
Sure.
That's my guess. I'm going to throw it out there. People will disagree. But Weidman, I think, would be perfect at 190. You find somebody at 180, and then you don't... You've got a big area right now where guys are just trying so hard to get down to 170, where I think they could be at 180 and fighting well. And we would know them, too. They're a little bigger. I'm sorry. People hate when I say that stuff. But they'd be bigger dudes, so we'd pay more attention than we necessarily do to the fly or the welterweight.
Absolutely.
And you then would probably have headliners at 170, 180, 190, 205, and heavyweight. Because I think those are the only headlining divisions. No disrespect to Ronda Rousey. This thing is not going to go well in a couple weeks for buy rates.
No, it's not.
I want to watch it, but we're going to see how we all watch it. So you would have five weight divisions then. With marketable main event caliber feeling championships. Lightweight is sometimes there, depends on the guy who's in there. 145, 135 haven't proven that they can do that.
I don't know that I disagree with you, and I certainly think now is the time to add a division.
The time is now.
The time is hashtag the time is now. Especially if this is what you're saying, right? We need to add. We've got 50 events to cover. Who wouldn't want to have a champion at all 50 of those, right? On some level, have a champion at defense.
At least sure. The pay-per-views. It feels like we're getting to the point where
if you get one more injury for this thing on the 28th, you'll have nothing, right?
Do you like that idea at finding somewhere in there? Let's remember, too, this whole thing is a bit of a mess because the 205 was created for Tito Ortiz.
Yes.
I like that idea, and I also like, you have to have a heavyweight and a super heavy, because 205 to 265 is a huge range.
But they're much bigger dudes.
The champ right now is 240. He's not even maxing out at 265. So I think that's too big of a gap.
Here's the one argument, though.
It's
against
60
that.
Pound.
Do you really want to see a bunch of dudes that are actually 265? Like, you've got to keep it low enough to where those dudes can actually move. We get enough bad heavyweight fights. We would never see the super. Because I've advocated before, you cut that right at 200, you get your body weight to the point where we would do 180, 192, 225, then up.
Right.
So your heavyweight's 200 to 225 in that scenario. And then your super heavy goes, I don't think you want to go much higher than that, even with that 40 pounds.
Sure.
Just simply because I don't think you'd have a ton of athleticism there. And I don't think you'd be able to headline cards.
You'd end up having the Tim Sylvia Gann McGee fight over and over. Go back and watch that because nobody wants to see it ever again.
I mean, everybody was super excited when Brock was cutting to 265. But I wish Sean was here because he hates when I do this. Brock was one of a kind as far as an athlete and a monster, balled into one, Olympic almost level athlete, college champion. I mean, Brock was like one dude that was cutting to 265. And you saw what happened. They tried to react to him, and guys like Frank Mir tried to put on weight, and they looked terrible.
Right.
So I think we could certainly sit down and have a discussion, though, and figure out some new weight classes at this point. Don't tear everything apart. But let's look at the fact that Kevin Gastelum feels like he has to get to 170. I don't want to take the blame away from the dude, but I mean, look at the guy. He can't fight at 185.
No, he can't. And actually, Mike Dolce said, his former trainer said on Monday in an interview, that he thinks Gastelum could make 155. If you look at his frame, he carries more body weight.
Yeah, but should the guy have to try to make that, though? I think if you open it up, and again, everybody would try to cut and get their best advantage. I would really like to see guys fighting more around their natural weights. And it's tough to do that in this instance because you got guys that are 3 or 4 months and they can do weight cuts and they can float back up and down. I don't know. This is me looking at this and not really being that upset. If Kevin Gastelum was sick, I'm not that upset. And I actually don't mind that he just blew away the weight because clearly he wasn't going to make the weight. I think that's a lot more acceptable than a guy who just can never seem to land on that weight and ends up 3-4 pounds. What was Lineker in this fight again? Three?
What, three? He's always three or four.
Yeah, he was four because the cutoff was 126 and he weighed in at 130.
So, I just think that's weight class. Once you go 170 to 205, those weight classes in there, that's a 35-pound range and you have two weight classes, essentially. That seems like too few for what we're trying to do as we move forward in MMA.
Especially in the lighters. We got 125, 35, 45, 55,
and then it starts jumping up.
The more exciting divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear what you're saying. I also think a superstar can make a division too, right?
Well,
so
I mean, Conor McGregor, Tito.
Yeah,
years
Tito
ago.
And look at Conor. I mean, he's putting more spotlight on the division than any of us can ever remember.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, you know, even when Aldo was a serial killer at that division and he was the
nobody
scariest
knows
guy,
who Aldo is. Right. Still, but you see Conor McGregor in between Super Bowl plays.
Sure.
You know,
right. Because he's. Box. I mean, he just. Well, he just know. Like, I really think. You know, Chael Sonnen, and we'll talk about Chael here in a second. You know, Chael was one of those guys who kind of studied from the Ric Flair and Hogan school of, like, just kind of how to build a sports brand, right?
Sure.
He knew what to say, when to say it, how to do it, what part of the promo cut worked and what didn't, and drop it and put this back in, right? Conor's doing the same thing, right? He's true to himself, and we've said that. Like, this is just who he is, but he's just amping it up, right?
Yeah.
When you go to any sort of broadcast school, they tell you to be, you know, in order to be good at that is you've got to take a part of your personality and put it on steroids, right? And that's just what he's doing. There's just nobody else in the division that's really that interesting, right? Nobody at that division, nobody can be keep up with that.
And you know, the best part is that he's performing inside the cage too.
Sure.
He's not just winning on points, he's finishing guys.
Well, I mean, we
in
saw
the
Benson
first,
Henderson
the
for years
round.
You could tell he had a chip on his shoulder because nobody wanted to give him credit as a main event fighter, even though he's champion for a long time. He was unbeatable for a long time, too. He would always get those decisions as well. There's just something there when you see a guy like Conor McGregor. Now, if you downloaded last week, which I'm sure you did, Joe, I've already said that he's biting off a little more than he can chew with Jose Aldo, so we'll find out.
And we will, and we're excited about that. But, you know, but we've got a couple minutes left before we bail out of here for the weekend, and I wanted to make sure that we talked about the second biggest loser of the week being Vitor Belfort. the news over the weekend was just like the craziest weekend ever, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is out. The exciting news about that is that Benson Henderson jumps up to 170 to take on Brandon Thatch. I love that
Do
fight.
You? Why is he
fight?
Going to 170?
Because
he doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to, but he saw, you know, how much clout Cowboy got from being busy and being the guy that just answers the bell.
Yeah, Cowboy's staying busy at 155, though.
I just let him be him, right? Like, he's got to do
let
him.
Let me have my moment.
So we've got Vitor, who essentially turned down an interim title fight, correct?
So what happened is Chris Weidman gets injured, and he's out for a bit, and Dana...
6 to 8 weeks. It's not even a long period of time.
But Dana just wants to get back on the horse and get this thing,
actually,
right?
Vitor started bugging Dana, blowing up his phone the way Vitor does, begging for an interim fight, and only because of that did Dana agree
Got it.
To it.
So that, as the story goes,
I thought Vitor turned down.
Well, hold on, it gets better, right?
Reset
like,
for me.
Because
yeah.
like, so he blows up his phone, and Dana goes, "Okay, I mean, I want to save this pay per view.
Right,
sure,
right.
There's guys out there that would totally do this. Let me call up Gegard Mousasi," and Vitor would go, "Well, no, whoa, hang on, say, oh, okay, well, let me call up, Jacare. Let me call. No. I really think the best guy to fight for an interim title would be Mark Munoz, who's not even ranked in the top 10.
I didn't know
Mark Munoz is the guy I would like to fight. Nate is like, are you insane? I'm not going to put Mark. What?
They wanted a Machida fight, right? Which
They wanted Machida.
So Dana called Machida. Machida agreed to it.
Yep.
He said, sign me the paperwork. No questions asked.
Sign me
the paperwork. He called Vitor and said, Machida's in. We're going to do this. And Vitor said, I can't fight a southpaw with this short a notice. So Dana calls Machida. Machida said, I will start every round orthodox if that's what it takes to get this fight. And, of course, he said no.
Hmm. Which, I think is a big, 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 big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean that on so many levels, right? Like, this is a time when, you know, if we can flip the tables a little bit, right? The whole first segment we dumped on the company of, like, the handling of Anderson Silva. If you're a company guy at this point and you go, oh, man, like, I don't want to put Ronda out like this and like, if there's going to be a backlash or if there's going to be a low buy rate, I don't want to put it on her shoulders. It's not her fault, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that's a
although
thing.
I think she can carry a card.
So do I. But I'm saying if something happens, it still shouldn't be her fault, right? Nobody put her out there by herself for her to pull the thing on her own, right?
Okay.
That just happened. So Vitor should be the guy who's like, well, yeah, let's totally. I'm a fighter. Ken said it with Kelvin Gastelum, right? If your job is to get up and show up for that fight, then you take the 10-pound gain, you take the 30% purse loss, and you get in the ring and you do your job, right?
Yeah.
If your job is to be a fighter and you are on this pay-per-view as the main event, you should do everything within your power to save that main event. And if that means an interim title, which I know Weidman wasn't a fan of, it's 8 weeks. I get all of that stuff, but business has to get done. And Ken, being the guy on the show who's the business guy, understands that, right? So I think you should have taken the fight, and if you didn't want Lyoto Machida, which I think is idiotic, you should have taken Gegard Mousasi. You should have taken Jacare, whoever they threw at you that was ranked, Pick somebody who's ranked, at least.
Well, I mean, and if you're Weidman, too, he's had some pretty harsh comments, basically calling out Belfour, saying, I don't understand why this guy's complaining about anything. He was busted for drugs. He shouldn't have been able to even fight this point. And he was offered an interim shot against a guy I already beat. I mean, that's the other thing if you're Chris Weidman. If you see the guy you just beat 6 months ago holding your belt because some other guy fought him, I get where he's coming from. He called Vitor a mental midget.
Which I don't
believe
is the first time he's been called a mental midget,
right,
actually.
Right, so this is very interesting. I didn't know some of that backstory. I just knew some of the response from Weidman, and I didn't even realize. Because I heard, I don't know if I would have necessarily bought that being a championship match, but if you would have said, okay, you got to put a belt on it because you haven't been able to fight in so long.
Right.
I'm not going to argue with that much anymore because we've had too many cases recently. Dominic Cruz, obviously the biggest and longest one.
Sure.
Until we finally got that belt situation sorted with. I'm not going to be that angry if you do an interim title belt. I certainly would have watched this and gone, well, Machida wins. He just lost to Weidman. I'm not really buying this guy as the interim champ, and should Weidman have to fight that dude again that he just beat handily?
Yeah,
so
it was all business. It was it's still going to be less than a year between title defenses for Weidman. This is completely business oriented. They wanted to have the interim belt to save the card, and then champion versus champion.
But I guess in the way that organization works, it seems to me that if you, like any job, right, if your partner bails because he's injured and they got to put another partner in there and then you just walk off the job site, right, what do? They fire you,
right?
Like, so I'm not saying they whack Vitor Belfort, but I'm not sure that I'd give him the next title shot.
Well, I didn't think that far into it, but you're right. If you're not going to
like,
if you're not going to do it,
okay, I'll give it to Gegard. Gegard was like, okay. Machida was like, and I know Machida probably not the right guy, but at least he rose his hand. Like, I'll totally do that.
You can't do it at this point, but I was hoping, after everything shook out, kind of looking at these fights a couple weeks ago, obviously, I thought we might get a chance to see Vitor Silva at some point again, which I really enjoyed the first time up until obviously the end of that fight. But I mean, that was a great performance for Anderson. I thought that's where this was going because I didn't think he was going to get by Weidman. Obviously, all of this is out the window. I don't know what you do with Vitor now. Is he going to get the shot immediately against Weidman? I mean, you don't want to punish the fans necessarily.
Yeah. So it's just bumped out a couple months.
Well, and you don't want to punish the fans. So I think.
But I'm sort of agreeing with you on this, he should have stepped up, and I don't know if he necessarily deserves that shot against Weidman.
I just think there's plenty of guys at 85 who would be a treat for the fans. The fans would love to see Gegard Mousasi. I mean, even if you don't know who Gegard Mousasi is or Jacare.
Jacare is sitting at 2, and Anderson Silva is not going to be fighting, so he's essentially the number one contender right now.
Yes.
So that's Jacare.
And I don't know if Jacare's injured. Is he still injured?
I don't know. But Luke Rockhold, they reached out to him too. Put him in there. Everybody loves Luke Rockhold.
At least he's like top five or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I just think, Ken, there's plenty of people in that list who would sign up, you know, to be in a lottery to be in that fight. I don't know that pulling Vitor Belfort out, who essentially was like, well, I really want an interim title if I could just fight myself in the ring for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Can I just run around and high-five myself?
And this is one of those
Is Anthony Pettis available? Can I fight him?
Yeah.
This is one of those
55ers.
This is those instances where we're maybe it'll help bring something to the fight. Because obviously Weidman's talking. Weidman wants a piece of him. So we get a little more buildup for this fight than we had for this one. We mentioned it the past 2 weeks on the show that this fight's coming up in a couple weeks. It's been really overshadowed by the first two big events of the year. Now it's not going to be overshadowed now, and Weidman's been talking, and Vitor's got to show up, and he's got to be clean for the first time in a couple of years. So it's going to be very interesting now with a little more backstory behind it. Not that we weren't excited for John Jones, Daniel Cormier the first time, but tell me that injury didn't end up helping the build-up to that fight later.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, because you've got 4 more months of them yelling at each other, right? And then one more thing before we leave. This happened this morning. Our friend Front Row Brian, who I'm pretty sure doesn't sleep, was on Instagram and noticed that Vanderlei Silva posted on Instagram a photo of him and Chael Sonnen with the WWE logo. Yeah. And Chael confirmed, I believe yesterday, that they are going to go meet with the fine folks to talk about some business that may or may not happen.
Oh, I thought we were finally verifying that Brazil has Twitter. So.
Welcome, Brazil.
Vanderlei posted, too. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That they actually offered him $1 million to come and do an event or something to those. It was in Portuguese, and then it was translated out. But, yeah, so both the guys have verified that they're going to the Hall of Fame event, and then they're going to go to the WrestleMania.
Right? You guys watch that way more than I do. Is that interesting?
Yeah, why not?
Silva? He's not going to get over. If you put them both in there.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, all you need is one guy.
It's a grudge match between those two guys.
Well, Chow will carry all that. I mean, he'll have to.
Yeah. Right.
He'll have to. What'll be funny, too, is he'll be the face, even though he would probably try to be the heel, because that's how he works best. But he would be the face, because, I mean, nobody's getting on board with Vanderlei. God, come on.
He'll do
learn
some
English.
Of those crazy videos he does. Post them on YouTube.
Right, but
they'll exploit the crap out of it.
I mean, and again, they could go back. No, they'll sell a ton. I'm just saying. I'm looking at this. I think you want an answer on how this would actually work.
I just want, you guys are all in, right? Because you live in both universes. I'm just wondering if random guy who hates the UFC but loves WWE, let's assume that person exists, are they going to buy into this? Is that going to be interesting to them? Is Chael the type of person that would work in the modern WWE era? Because, I mean, in the Attitude era, I think Chael Sonnen's huge. Right?
Well, they're calling this now the reality era.
Of course they are.
Because
everything needs to have an era.
Well, but I mean, if you want to say that's the reality era, and the reality here is Chael Sonnen could probably kick the out of most of those dudes in the locker room. He's not going to have any. I'm not saying wrestlers aren't tough, but when they actually get into the cage and have to do some things, that's a little different than the guys in the ring. And I think, and I'll say it, pro wrestling's a harder lifestyle on those dudes than MMA is on the guys fighting.
A thousand times.
But I mean, in that reality era, you're like, oh man, if something goes down. This could go. And you know, it'd be funny. I'd be that dude. And maybe it's because I think Vanderlei's actually a little bit crazy. You never know, that dude.
I'm pretty sure he is.
He just wants in a ring with Chow where he doesn't have to get a license.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Who knows what'll happen?
Exactly.
It'll be a shoot match.
Exactly. So there you go.
All right. Well, we will be on Twitter all weekend. And Joe and I, and I think we'll try and convince Ken to come out. But Sean Desai having an event at the Delta
Plex. What do you mean convince? I just caught you guys talking about plans this weekend. And we got to tell Ken.
Now we have to invite Ken.
I'm inviting you right now. Sean Desai's got an event with the Triumph. Fighters happening at the Deltaplex on Saturday. We'll be covering that on Instagram and Twitter. Have an awesome weekend. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @WowShow. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.